Thank you. We've been talking about the peace of God versus the peace that the world knows about. And they are quite different. The peace of the world depends upon the compliance of all the outward circumstances of life. Everything looks like it's going good, you have peace. But if it gets rough, peace gets filled with trepidation instead. But the peace of God is not about outward circumstances, but an inward condition of heart and mind. Now, when you capture, when you have got it fully settled in your mind and an understanding of this peace, you will understand what we're about to teach today, and that is that there is so much power that you will have in your life that you never had before. So, let's get started with our definition of peace. Here we go. Genuine peace. That's why we call it genuine, by the way. It's a peace where, look, it's a realm where chaos is not permitted to enter. Wow. It's like a sanctuary. Here's another working definition. In fact, let's talk about what Jesus said about this. He said, "My peace I leave with you. I want you to have my idea of peace." Look at this now. "My peace I give unto you." Look at this now. "Not as the world gives." His is really radically different. And he gives it to us. Now watch this. "And because of this, he can easily say, so, hey, your heart won't be troubled and you will never have fear with the kind of peace that I'm offering you." A realm, which is your mind and your heart, where chaos is not permitted to enter. Let's look at another definition here. It's a stable, chaos-free zone, a stable, chaos-free realm where all outward circumstances have zero power to disturb you or to interfere with your life. Oh, in fact, there's talk about what does it mean to hold one's peace? And here we go. It means to remain quiet or silent, okay? To keep silence. It means to refrain from comment or criticism at times. Hold our peace. Look at this now. And the purpose of that is to effect reconciliation for oneself. Huh. And especially with someone else. In order to make another person have that same condition that you have. And we're going to see exactly how peace has the power to do that. Okay, so peace is a state of concord or friendliness, okay? Not at war or at variance, no strife. And watch this now, because it's no strife with oneself. Ooh. No arguing with yourself and not strife with another person. It's a state of quietness and serenity. You're calm, cool, collected, and composed. Ah. The purpose of it is to, remember now, we don't want chaos. So the purpose of peace is to precisely to maintain order, to prevent or refrain from commotion or disorder. And lastly, to prevent or refrain from an argument, to hold your peace, to refrain from strife, disruptive behavior, or displays of hostile feeling. You probably already are starting to see the power of genuine peace. The ability to refrain from hostile feelings and hostile behaviors towards anyone else. It means to undertake not to commit to the breach of peace. You're not going to be a peace disturber. Because genuine peace is the heart and mind where chaos is not permitted to enter. Now, in contrast with this, there are those who can never have this kind of peace. Look at this. The wicked, that is the people who won't do what's right, the people who won't do real, genuine peace from God, they are like, look at this, they're like the troubled sea. And it cannot rest. And look at this, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So what we want to know now is, watch this, guys. There's no peace for the wicked, nor any variations of that which is wicked. No rest or tranquility. Can you imagine that? Instead, there is incessant anxiety, responsibility, and overcare. So how, go with me now to see what is the real power. How can we define the power of genuine peace? So here we go. Let's look at this scripture. It's about freedom from internal bondages. Here comes the scripture now and says to the Son, referring to Jesus, if he shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In fact, you will have genuine freedom. And probably the greatest freedom that we need is freedom from inside turmoil. Uh-huh. And that's why the scriptures instruct us, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And watch it now. And be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to a non-freedom, upset, disturbed condition. Because the power of freedom is, or the power of praise, rather, is freedom from internal bondages. Freedom from anxiety. Can you imagine that? Peace. You can't have peace and anxiety. They are diametrically opposed to one another. Worry. No worries. No anxiety. No worry. No nervousness. No apprehension. Freedom from unease. Freedom from fretting and disturbances and tension and unthinking behavior. Can you imagine that? You'll be able to think precisely, clearly, with wisdom. No trepidation, no agitation, no strain or stress, no panic, no confusion, no dread or fear. That is the power of peace, to eliminate all the other internal bondages that would compete for your emotional and well-being. The power of freedom from internal bondages. Now watch this, because the scriptures have gone and talk about the fear. For God hath not given us. Now remember, there's what comes from God is different from what comes from the world. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But what do you get instead from God? You get power. Now watch this, because you're going to discover in a few moments how peace is going to give you power like you never knew you could have before. And the ability to love. And look at this, you're going to end up with a sound mind. Peace is the foundation of mental health. Without it, all kinds, in various degrees, by the way, of complication set in and control the mind and the emotions. And they cause disturbances and ultimately bondage. Now, before we quit, I want you to see this. You need to grasp this idea. Emotions were designed to be your servant, not your master. Boy, I hope you're writing this down. Emotions were designed to be your servant, not your master. You need emotions. But they are to be the energy behind wise choices. They are not to be the leader. Emotions are to be your servant, not your master. Now, it's important that you have emotions. Like somebody said, if you have no emotion, you have no motion. But if you have emotion, you have devotion, locomotion, promotion, and you might even have explosion. take a break from my onomatopoeia. I want to go back to the fact of this, though, is that emotions were never designed to be your guidance system. They're to be the energy behind wise choices. If emotions are allowed to master you, the consequences of that are very severe. Emotions will interfere with wisdom. And remember, wisdom is the principal thing. All of life should be determined by and decisions and the adjudications that you make in your life should be based on wisdom, not feeling. Because feelings are not smart enough to lead you. And so I want to recommend to you, watch the screen with me for a moment. I want to recommend to you that you go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. There's a teaching there called How to Control Your Emotions. Nothingbutthetruth.org. There's another one called How to Properly Control Emotions. There's another one on truth, life, and emotions. It's really important. And How to Control Your Imaginations. These are just a few of what we offer without any cost to anybody. Because you are so important. And your life is important. And your ability to make wise decisions is fundamentally necessary if you're going to be successful in life. You need to have the power that comes from peace, the power of freedom from all bondages internal. Now, watch with me. The second thing is that peace gives you the power of freedom from outside disturbances. They can't get to you. Look at the scripture. I love the scripture, by the way. Behold, here's Jesus speaking. I'm giving you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Anybody, any devil, any demon that's against you, listen to this. He says, I'm going to give you the power over it. And look at this. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. My goodness. Nothing outside. God wants nothing outside, nothing external to be able to interrupt, intercept, infuse, get inside you, seep in any way that would disturb you. Nothing outside. You are a sovereign person, and he wants you to be in this peaceful condition by which you are not only free from inward bondages, but anything and anybody, any forces outside yourself that can't hurt you. Here's why. Scripture comes now, and this is what it says. Who art thou that judges somebody else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. And yes, look at this. He shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. Phew. Look at this now. You don't need to have anything outside you forcing you to do anything. Peace is that condition that forbids the intrusion of any chaos from any source, inward or outward. For example, nothing should intimidate you. Nothing should bully you. Nobody. Look at this now. The opinions of others. If you let the opinions of others get inside you, you'll spend your life a prisoner to the expectations of everybody else. In contrast with this, when you have peace, it's like you're self-contained, self-sufficient. I mean, you've got it together. There's just you. And anybody else that comes along and has an opinion, it gets adjudicated by you, and it cannot be allowed to control, manipulate you in any way. Let's look at a few more. Judgmentalism from outside. How about anger? If you let anger come in, it will disturb your peace. Or wrath, what is that? It is acts done in vengeance. So people go, all right. But you're going to be unprovocable. You're going to be free from retaliation, strife. Oh, my goodness. Because if somebody is allowed from the outside to make you, to bring you into strife, you lose your peace. What if somebody wants to provoke you? If you have peace, they can't. They can't even make you byproducts you don't want to. No condemnation. No speculation. No tribulation. No affliction. Awesome. Now watch this. Because the power of peace includes the power of emotional stability and self-control. When you have peace, it is the core of emotional stability. In fact, you may want to look up, we have several teachings on our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. Subject is how to develop emotional intelligence. Okay. God wants you to have emotional stability and self-control, no matter what. Peace is that inward condition that enables self-control. Here's the scripture. Let's look at it. From now on, I don't want you to be like children who get tossed to and fro, up and down, forward and back, left and right. Okay? And I don't want you carried about by every wind of doctrine, every idea. Somebody comes at you, you've got to get carried away with it. I want you to have emotional stability and self-control so that all these ideas don't break into your life. Because watch the scripture now. Because they come by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. People are out to connive and to manipulate and craft because they want something out of you. And so watch out, because God says, I want you to have this peaceful condition that's so great that indeed you'll be emotionally stable and have self-control and nothing outside, no trick, no treachery can get to you. In fact, the scripture closes with this. Because they lay wait, they lie in wait to deceive you, to trick you, whether it's to buy a product or to serve them in some way or give something up. Always trying to get, grab, and grasp. But peace gives you the emotional stability and self-control. Now, here's the testimony of Paul, the apostle. And you remember him, right? This guy was once a Jewish jihadist. Like, he was a killer of Christians, right? He got legal right to do that, to kill Christians. One day, he was on the road to Damascus, and you remember the story, how a light shone from heaven, and he heard a voice, and it knocked him off his horse. And he had an encounter with Jesus that day that changed. The guy struck blind. They had to carry him, lead his horse into town to a street called Straight. And he sat there in his blindness for several days until God told somebody to go and pray for him, and he did. And when Ananias laid hands on him, he got his sight back again, and he became, remember, a one-time Jewish jihadist killer. And now he's a man who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Astounding. But he faced all kinds of imprisonment and tests and trials. And now look what he says. Not knowing the things, I don't know what's going to befall me. I don't know what's ahead of me. Except, save, he says, I know that I will be put in bonds and I will have all kinds of afflictions abide me. Now watch the scripture with me. Because here's his response. He got this peace of God that passes on. Watch it now. But none of these things move me. Now, that, my friend, is exactly what God wants his peace to do in you. So nothing moves you. No external overtakes you. Nothing usurps your stability. Your self-control. What a blessing that is. Now let's go to another one. And this is a big one. And that is, from peace, you get the power of The power of peace controlled speech. Peace controlled speech. Now, before we get started, I want you to understand how important what you say is. So let's look to the scripture. Here it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can hurt somebody or you can help somebody. The power is in your tongue. Now, they that love this shall get the benefits of it, shall eat the fruit thereof. In fact, one scripture says this, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The power of death and life is in the tongue and what the words you speak are. Now, watch this. Because remember, now that you have peace in this heart and mind, now it's going to show when you talk to somebody. Now, my subject is the power of peace. I want you to see the power here. Look at this verse with me. They love him that speaks right. You know, I heard somebody say that when there's a conflict or strife between any two people, 20% is caused by a difference of opinion and 80% is caused by the manner in which they express to each other. Escalation takes place instead of calm, cool, reasonable, collected ideas where the best idea wins. And so our conversation, our speaking can stir people up to anger, resentment, resistance, but they love those that speak the right way. So comes now the Lord. Now, because watch this. Peace is not avoiding conflict. Peace is not being timid. Peace is a condition by which you look at something and you will, look at this, you will speak the truth, but look at this, you do it with a manner that's loving, that's peaceable, that's gentle, that's... Learning to speak peaceably all the time to everyone is critically important. How can we do that? It is the result of the peace that's resident in us, the ability to speak peace-controlled speech. Now, again, I want you to see the power of this. So come now with me to the intelligence monitor one more time and take a look. How forcible are right words? Well, but what doth your arguing reprove? Arguing doesn't get any place. Here's why. Because in most arguments, it's not about what's right, but who's right. It is a competition of egos. And when you have peace, no competition, because the ego's not involved. Now, you are fully fulfilled in yourself. You're calm, cool, collected. And you can speak the right words. No argument, just controlled speech, controlled by the peace that you have. See, when someone cannot control their speech and be speaking peacefully, it's an indication of an internal issue. If they had peace, they have no problem speaking peaceably. But if they got hatred or anger or resentment or bitterness, then when they go to speak, it comes out without peace. You remember the story of Joseph and his brothers? Remember the coat of many colors story? It's a great story, by the way. Chapter 39, 40, 41, 42 of the book of Genesis. Here's what. Look at this now. They hated him. That was their inward condition, see? So as a result of that, look at this. They could not speak peaceably. And could not, because this inward condition compelled their speech. That's why it is only when we have peace on the inside that we're able to speak peaceably to others. And now, how do you control the tongue? How is that possible? Watch here now. The tongue is a fire.
Oh. Do you know how many things it can set on fire?
It's a world of iniquity, a competition between egos. And look at this. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
So, what does God mean when he says you can't tame your tongue? He means exactly what he says, and here's why. Watch this. Jesus starts off and he says, oh, you generation, how can you, if you're evil, how can you speak good things? Why is this coming out of you? Because, watch this now. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The reason the tongue cannot be tamed is because it's going to say whatever's inside. So if peace is in you. My goodness. If peace is in you, then what comes out of you is going to be peaceful. Yeah. This is the power of peace. The ability to speak peace-controlled speech. So Scripture says, don't speak evil of one another. Don't say bad stuff about each other. Look at this. Let's look at a few of these. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach of spirit. Of the woman, 31st chapter of Proverbs, the virtuous woman. Look at her. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Watch it now. Notice, she doesn't tell feelings. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Watch this now. And in her tongue. Whoops, sorry. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. The ability to have peace-controlled speech. It's part of the power. Here's another good one. A soft answer turns away anger, wrath. But if you speak grievous words, you will stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge the right way, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Yeah. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Look at this. Health to the bones. My goodness. Now this is an interesting thing. That God wants you to be able to speak peacefully. So, in this scripture, Isaiah says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. Like, I don't just say stuff, I've thought it through first. Somebody said, better put your mind in gear before you put your tongue into action, or you'll make the biggest speech you ever live to regret. I speak with the tongue of the learned so that I know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I know how to help people out. I can do this. In contrast, there are those that speak like the piercings of a sword. Don't miss the rest of the verse. But the tongue of the wise is health. The power of peace-controlled speech comes from having peace inside. Now, here's a big one. Here's a really big one. The power to speak just like God. Can you imagine if you could speak like God? And so here's the contrast. In the book of Job, will you speak wickedly for God? Watch out. Anybody, when people say they're talking for God, you better be careful. Will you speak wickedly and talk deceitfully for him? It's a rhetorical question. And then there's those that turn thy spirit against God and use such words that go out of your mouth. How can we have this happening? So let's go now to the real important aspect of this. The God of peace be with you all. What I want you is the God of peace. This is what I want you to get, the God of peace. When God is the God of peace, and when he speaks, he's peaceable. Okay, watch. And now comes the scripture and says, if any man not speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So what, and the manner in which I talk to people should be the manner in which God would talk to people. And what I say to them should be the same thing as what God would say to them. Whoa. The power of speaking like God. It's speaking as though God himself were speaking through you. That's what it means to speak as the oracles of God. To speak as though God himself were speaking through you. He's the God of peace. So if we don't have peace, then how can we speak for him? This is kind of interesting because God's now talking to Moses. And he says, I will be with thy mouth. And I'll be with his mouth. This was his brother. And I will teach you what you should do. Really important. So if we're going to speak like God, it'd be important now for us to look at some of the ways that God would speak. Here's the instruction. Let your speech be always with grace. Whoa. Always graceful. When we speak to anybody, the power of speaking like God is manifested because we speak gracious, because God is the God of graciousness. Seasons, all of this, so you know how to ought to answer every man. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Gracious. And God says, I sent messengers out of the wilderness, and I sent them with, look at this, words of peace. When we have peace, we now are conditioned internally so that when we speak, it's as if God's speaking. People get the feeling, the felt, that he knows God. God's talking to me. Thy words have held up those that were falling down. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. So God says, don't talk proudly no more. Don't talk proudly anymore. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. See this? Ah, the opposite to peaceful speech. The opposite to godly speech. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. Now watch this. The preparations of the heart of man, heart in man, and, in addition, the answer of the tongue are from the Lord. So, make sure you get this picture. The preparation of the heart. He got the peace in your heart. You got the joy in your heart. You got the love in your heart. The preparations of your heart come from the Lord. And also now, because of what's inside you, the answer of your tongue is going to reflect the preparations that God has done in your heart with love, joy, and peace. Peace. It's amazing. Now, we've come to a new subject, another part of the subject. The power of using as few words as possible, and even sometimes quiet. So let's learn this. In the multitude of words, there wants not sin. If people talk too much, they're going to be saying wrong things. But he that refrains his lips is wise. Don't talk too much. When you do, let it come out, as we've talked about, peacefully, and like God would say. He that has knowledge spares his words. Thought through, careful what we're saying. And the man of understanding is an excellent spirit. Now watch this. Even a fool when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shuts his lips, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Like somebody said, keep your mouth shut. Because if you open your mouth, if you're a fool, keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you might open your mouth and give proof that you are a fool. So be careful. Be careful, even a fool. The beginning of his words of his mouth are foolishness. The end of his talk is mischief. A fool is full of words. Don't talk all the time. The power of silence and the power of a few words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, because he will despise the wisdom of thy words. If you see a man, now watch this, if you see a man hasty in his words, if he's quick to react and to respond, there's more hope of a fool than him. The words of men are heard in quiet. If you want somebody to really hear what you're saying, get quiet, peaceful, not a whole lot of jibber jabber, gently, peacefully, as God would deposit, because that's in the quiet where the wisdom of men is heard. More than the cry of him that rules among fools. Ah, all these voices. Yeah, yeah. So. Now, I'm almost at my last point, but before we get there, strive not about words, especially if they have no profit. Because here's what they do. They subvert the hearers, okay? So make sure that you shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Yeah, don't talk. Foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them, knowing that they are going to produce strife, right? And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach patient. Now watch this. Instructing those that oppose themselves. The number of people that are involved in self-destructive behaviors today is immense. So how are we going to help them? It's just instructing with meekness, lack of anger, just peaceful condition, instructing them that are destroying themselves. Maybe they will recover. The power of using few words and questions. Now let me close with this one. The power that comes from peace is the power of speaking acceptably by God. So this is almost a famous portion of Scripture. Let's not miss it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Were my words today that I spoke to people acceptable by God? Notice the Scripture talks about the meditation of the heart as well. This peaceful condition of the heart. Let it be acceptable to God. And what's acceptable to God? Put on mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Oh, look at this. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, just treat him like Jesus treats you and forgive it. Wipe it out. Ignore it. Don't make a big deal out of other people's sins. Forgive them. This is critically important to your well-being. Because Jesus said it after teaching the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. Above all these things, when you speak acceptably with God, make sure you do it in love. Because love is the bond of perfection.
And look what will happen. Because here's the deal. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Whoa. Now this is the third. Our other teachings have preceded this one. Then they did the one on the way to genuine peace. And then we did footsteps to genuine peace. And today we've covered the subject of the power of genuine peace. It's my hope and my prayer for you that this has been helpful. More than anything else, though, God Himself, wants peace inside you, regardless of what's happening around you. And this peace that comes from God will keep you in all your ways. This peace that comes from God will enable you to have more power in your life. And you'll never be inputted, aggravated, upset by anything else outside, because this peace is a deep, settled peace that comes from God, and He wants you to have it today. That's my hope and my prayer for you. I hope that you'll say, Amen.